addresses that have come in, and we want to make sure you get us some addresses today, tomorrow, or Tuesday for a mail-out that we're going to be doing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I want you to get us addresses of people that you want to invite, that you would like to have a special invitation. These people that maybe never have been here, people that have been here many times, or just somebody that you know, and somebody that maybe is on your impact list, and then you want to get here to church. And so you get us their addresses, and we'll send them a really nice, pretty invitation and ask them to come. Jason has grown so much in the Lord. In his testimony, he said that he thought they had everything. We had everything that would make a marriage good. Well, he thought they had everything that would make a marriage good. Christy wasn't as sold on that idea as Jason was, but they do now. They have really gone through some things, and it kind of ties in with what we're going to be talking about today. Jason is a son of the Lord to me, and he has become so active at LifeGate. He participates in everything. He loves doing dramas. He's here on a lot of work nights. He does some disciple class things with us. And his life has been changed because he's listened to the Lord and he's been obedient to what the Lord has instructed him to do. And that becomes so important if we're really going to have a transformation in our lives. He mentioned that he was debt-free now. And he wasn't that way. He couldn't even tithe when he first began coming. But now he is tithing. And since that time, God's done some miracles in his life. And I'm going to be pointing this out, and I just want to make special emphasis of it right now. You cannot experience the total transformation that Jesus has for your life unless you let him touch you the way he wants to touch you and then do what he instructs you to do. So many people get touched by the Lord, but their lives never is transformed and never is changed because they don't do what he says to do. We've all seen people, and some of us are that way. The Lord has touched us. We've been touched by Jesus, but we didn't go to Siloam and wash our eyes. We didn't do what he said to do. So the transformation was never totally finished. But I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about that. So I want to show you our new background, the one that we were having. We had to make this one, but the one we were having up there, I would probably run into some copyright infringements, and so I made our own. What does that tell you? Does that tell you something? Do you get the message on that? Harvest is wide unto harvest. Jesus says, you know, just look around you. You don't have to go to Haiti or Africa or just look around you. Your harvest fields are white. The people that you need to touch are right around you. They're right close. And so today's message is, of course, first things first, evangelism, and it's the testimonial evangelism, the power of testimonial evangelism today. So let's go ahead and let me wear you out again with these seven styles of evangelism. After today, we will have covered them all but one. And so I want to go ahead and show you these once again. Intellectual style. Paul at Athens is the type of that where he's debating and with the philosophers. And you'll have times when you need to move in this where you'll need to talk to somebody intellectually about the things of God. Confrontational style. Peter on the day of Pentecost, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble with God because you haven't repented and been water baptized and received his spirit. Relational style. Levi having the party for Jesus. That's having relationships with people so that during the opportunity of a relationship, they trust you, they know you, and they'll come to where you ask them to come to meet Jesus. Invitational style. The woman at the well, we talked about that one. And we see that Jesus was moving through Samaria, and there he met saw this woman, and he spent time with her, and she went out and invited everybody in and brought them into the kingdom of God because of her invitation. Serving style, that's Tabitha. We saw her, that she actually died and God raised her up. Your length of life can be extended because you serve people. And you're ministering to them through Jesus and with Jesus and for Jesus. But your life can be so blessed and life extended simply because you do stuff for people. Testimonial style, that's one we're going to be looking at today. And then the prayer style was Cornelius. Cornelius prayed and his whole household was saved. Not only his household, but all of his friends and buddies. He got Peter to come and the whole thing, the Holy Ghost fell on him and they all got saved because Cornelius prayed. And all of these are styles. Now, which one did I tell you was the most important? Which one do you need to use when you bring someone into the kingdom of God? You're learning that. You say, I want us to really see this. There's a power. There's one you move in fearlessly. There's at least one that you have no problems at all in moving in. But there is one that you move in fearlessly. You're already doing it. But what we need to learn how to do is to be situational, because there's going to be different situations we'll find ourselves in. Sometimes we need to have intellectual style. And we need to answer the questions that people have. There are sometimes we just need to be relational and just make friends and develop relationships with people. There are sometimes we need to be confrontational. We need to tell people, you're screwing up. Your life's a mess because you're screwing up. And you need to get things straightened out. And so there are different styles of whatever style that we find ourselves around in the situation that we find ourselves in. We need to be sharp. The work part comes, and Paul told Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. But doing the work of an evangelist, doing evangelism is work. And you have to work at developing opportunities. But when they come along, take the opportunity, use the opportunity. How many opportunities do we really get? Let me phrase that correctly. We get several, but every one of those are so precious. Each opportunity we get to mention Jesus or talk to someone about Jesus is precious. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? It's precious when we have an opportunity to tell somebody about the good things of God and about Jesus and His love and His concern. Oh, it's a precious moment. Don't blow it. Don't drop it. Don't not recognize it. And a lot of times we do that. We don't recognize until after we've left that particular part of the conversations. We've always got to have ears keen to hearing the opportunity, the crack, the door, the window, something that we can get in and minister to people about Jesus. This particular one today is my power. It's the one that I use. And when I get to use this one, when I can bring somebody in a relation to a place where I can share with them my testimony, and I can tell them that one time I was blind, but now I see, and when I can really tell these people things about how God has changed my life, how Jesus Christ has touched me and changed me, and changed me from being a beggar, not knowing what I look like, or what you look like, or what anyone looked like, in debt, begging, just trying to make it through. When He touched my life and changed me, when I get to share that with somebody, it's not usually not very long at all before they come into the kingdom. So it's a power in my life. This is a power in me. And I recognize it as a power, and I'm always looking for an opportunity to share what Jesus has done for me with someone. Okay, our study today begins in John chapter 9 and verse 1. I hope you've got your Bibles, or you should already have them when the reading of the Scriptures. Just go ahead and get ready there and get them up. But John chapter 9 and verse 1, we're going to go through some of these passages that we've read. We're not going to, of course, do all of them. You've got the overview of what happened there in John chapter 9 with the man born blind. But reading verse 1, it says this: as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. First thing I want to point out here, as he went along, Jesus, just as he goes through life, as he went through his journey, we saw that last time with the woman at the well. As he was on his journey, he went by this well where the woman was. On the journey, so oftentimes, is where we get to talk to people. It's in your life's journey. You don't have to go to Haiti. You don't have to go to Africa. All you got to do is go to work. All you got to do is get out of bed. All you got to do is go to the grocery store or go to the gas station. All you do is, as you're going along in life, you're going to have opportunities to touch someone's life. And you're going to have, and especially these people, this person with this power, this testimonial style of evangelism, as this person can touch a life in such a powerful and a dramatic way. Now, as Jesus went along, it's simply a matter of using the opportunities that we are given. We're given so many. But are we ready and prepared and ready and work to be able to minister to the person? And then in verse 2 it says this: his disciples asked him. Say that back to me. His disciples asked him. Say that. His disciples asked him. Now, this is a religious question. They said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? How many of you have ever heard that God gets a big kick out of beating us up when we mess up? You know, He's looking, He's this big bad old granddaddy up there in heaven in a big chair with a long stick, and buddy, when you mess up, whop, He's ready to whack you. You see, this is kind of the way people see God and see Jesus. That because you've messed up, then He's going to whack you. He's going to put some horrible disease on you or make you blind or do something to you. Have you ever heard something like that? Have you ever heard, God's going to get you because you messed up? Maybe some of you feel that way. You know, this is happening to me because I did something bad. Well, you need to hear what Jesus says here. I want you to hear this. This is crucial. You need to know that He's not doing that to you. He's not doing that to people. Now, there was the old covenant under Moses where some of that happened. But you don't find that in the new covenant. You find in the new covenant a God of love and peace, a Father. Amen. You find that. Now, let's look at this particular verse in verse 3. Here's what Jesus answered. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Now, which one sinned? The parents or the man born blind? Which one sinned?
Neither.
Is that what he said? Now, were they sinless? Or have all sinned? And he's not saying they haven't sinned. But what Jesus is saying, he's not blind because he sinned. What happens to us isn't because God's mad at us. It's because there is a reaping for things that we do. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever things that you sow, that too shall you also reap. Right? God doesn't beat us up. We beat ourselves up. He's trying to tell us how to avoid these things. That's the abundant life. Jesus says, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, you'll have life and that more abundantly. We get beat up by ourselves by not doing what He simply said to do. How many of you know that's true? If you don't do what He said don't do, you're blessed. If you do what He said do, you're blessed. But when you don't do what He said to do, you're not blessed. Bad things happen. And it's not right to blame God for our screw-ups. It's not right. Is that what James said? Don't ever say God put this on you. See, it's not God that's whacking us. We whack ourselves. And most of us know that. Most of us know. If I hadn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened. But Eve, in my profession, and what I do, I find so many people. You go to funerals. Well, I don't know why God let this happen. Well, remember one, there was these teenagers and they were out drinking and boozing and running up and down the road at 100 miles an hour and had a wreck and killed several of them. I don't know why God let this happen. God didn't let that happen. They weren't doing what they knew they should do. For he that knows to do good or right and doeth it not, to him that is sin. See, we know what to do. We just don't do it. And therefore, it's not God whacking this poor blind man. God had nothing to do with that. But God is going to take it. God's going to take it and use it and display His works. Hear me now. That's what the verse says. Let's look at the verse one more time. Let's look at the verse. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." It's not because of sin he was blind, but God's going to take that thing and make it something good. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care why it happened. I don't care if you felt like you brought it on yourself or if you felt like God put it on you. It doesn't matter. I've given you correct theology. It doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is God can take it. Amen. What the enemy meant for evil, God can change it and make it for good. Okay, now let's see what happens. This word here displayed in the I'm trying to think what the King James says. What is it? Manifest. That's what the King James says. This is God's going to manifest. What the word means is display. God's going to take this and display His works through this situation. And this word display is very important to understand. It means make actual and visible, realized, exposed to view, make manifest, to show oneself, and to appear. Now what this is simply saying, leave that up in just a second, it's talking about going beyond theory and idealism of what the kingdom is and making it real. It's going beyond theory of the kingdom and bringing the kingdom into reality. God's going to display His kingdom through this situation. Now, this gets me so excited. See, this is at the heart of the testimonial evangelism style. God's going to show off here. He's going to display something. He's going to make something aware of. He's going to bring something up. He's going to take something that was negative, something of a failure, something that was ugly. He's going to take something that was broken, and He's going to fix it and display His love, His goodness. He's going to display His kingdom. And this is at the heart of the person who uses the testimony evangelism style. This is the power of it. God will take what others may think is God's judgment upon your life and make it His works to display His glory on your life. Isn't that good? See, what others think God's judging you with and brought on your life, when we really allow Him to work in our lives, He'll take it, turn it all the way around, and use it for His glory. Now that's exciting to me, because that's what happened to me. A broken, blind, groping around person, trying like the woman at the well, everything to quench my thirst, not being satisfied by anything, all of a sudden, Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. And people had, look at Delbert. My God, God's going to kill him. God wasn't going to, I was killing Delbert. You understand what I'm saying? But God did a work in me. I was having a conversation. It wasn't a good conversation. It was a really bad conversation. Somebody was very upset with me. And on the telephone said, "You're a real piece of..." And then he says, "You're a piece of work." And you know what I said? "You're right. I am a piece of work." And he didn't mean it. That didn't help the conversation at all. But I am a piece of work. God did something in me. And when I get to share that with somebody, it changes their life because it's a power. Amen. God took my negatives, my failures, my frustrations, my blindness, and He turned it all around. And now when I share with people what He did in my life, they've got to deal with it. You know, they can't argue. It really happened. Verse 6 says this, John chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Having said this, He spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, Jesus did a very unconventional thing here. Now, I mean, I want you to try, and I'm not going to do sound effects and all that stuff, but try to imagine this happening to you. You're blind, and you're there. And here comes this guy. And you begin to hear the effects, the sounds of a person creating saliva. And then you hear the sound of spit. What are you thinking? This is a little unconventional, correct? I mean, would you not say? And then, all of a sudden, he takes that saliva and dirt, and he's rubbing it, and he's putting it on your eyes. Now, it amazes me that the guy just sits there. But that is my point. You see, if you really want the transformation that he wants to do in your life, you've got to let him do what he wants to do to your life. And sometimes you don't know what's happening. You're hearing all these sounds. And you're smelling these smells, and you don't know what's happening. But you know Jesus is there. It's very unconventional. You see, the person who usually moves in this form of evangelism has usually experienced a very unconventional salvation. My transformation was not conventional. But God touched me, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. Now, we see many people in the kingdom and doing what I do who come to the Lord, who allow Him to touch them. But then we don't see them transform. And there are two things. The first one is we've got to let Him touch us His way. It's not going to happen our way. If we want a total transformation, folks, it's not going to happen your way. It might not be real dignified, and it might not be real pretty. It might be something as simple as take up your bed and walk, but it might be something as unconventional as getting spit put in your eyes. But if you want that transformation, you've got to let Him touch you His way. And the way He's going to touch your life isn't the way He's going to touch my life. And the way He's going to touch my life isn't the way He's going to touch your life. Because every individual relationship with Jesus Christ is unique and different. I have two wonderful children, but my relationship with each of them are very, very different. I can't handle them both the same way. I have to learn, and He has to learn of. He has to teach us and deal with us, each one individually. But if we want that transformed life, we've got to let Him touch us His way. Second thing that I see in here is He told him to go to Siloam and wash. If you want a totally transformed life, what you've got to do is not only let Him touch you the way He wants to touch you, but you've got to follow up on what He says to do. People that really have a strong testimony, evangelism style, have not only allowed Him to touch them uniquely, but they've also done what He said to do. So oftentimes I see people that come into the kingdom, pray the prayer, do the things initially, allow Jesus to touch them, but they don't follow up on going to Siloam. They don't do what He said to do. What had the blind man not gone to Siloam? What had he not washed? Would he have gotten the transformation that he received? You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, there are instructions. And everyone's instructions are different. That's why you've got to hear the Spirit, learn the Spirit, have the Spirit, so that you can hear what He tells you to do. Because He's going to send you somewhere. And again, it may be as simple as take up your bed and walk. But I had to go to Siloam, which means sent. See, I could never have experienced the transformation that He's given me and that's taken place in my life had I not done what He told me to do. And neither will you. How many of you know people like that, that they did the prayer, they came to church a couple of times, but nothing ever seemed to happen in their lives? are at like stalemate. They're at a place now where nothing's changing, nothing's happening. My encouragement to you and the understanding of them is this. What did he tell you to do? Have you done it? Because you can't be totally transformed until you do what he says do and allow him to touch you the way he wants to touch you. Verse 8 says this. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. You see, when your life is totally transformed, you are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. When he totally transforms your life, you don't even look like, some people can't even recognize you. Isn't this the guy? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You see, I was there. I didn't act the same. I didn't talk. I didn't look the same. And when Jesus really comes into your life and does a transformation upon you, you change. And some of your closest people, closest friends, relatives, wow, what's happened to you? And then they asked, where did this happen? How did this happen? Where's the man? I always love that part, don't you? Because I'm going to get to tell them how it happened and tell them about the man named Jesus. Now, as I studied this and as I looked at this, the change was drastic. But, everybody's not ready to change. How many of you talk to people and you know that they needed Jesus, but they weren't, and their lives was a blind mess. And you know they needed Jesus, and you told them about Jesus, but they did not receive Jesus. They wanted to know what happened to you. They wanted to know where it happened. They wanted to know about him, but we're not ready to receive him. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Sure. Well, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute. But what you get to do is you get to tell them where he is. You get to tell them who he is. You get to plant a seed. I'm going to talk about this just a little bit more in a second or two. And in verse 10 it says, now then, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. That's what he said. I don't know. But the main thing is, I know it happened. I don't know how it can happen to you, but I know it happened to me. And you get to tell the people immediately. When I got saved, when I came to Jesus, when this began to happen in my life, and it was an unconventional way, I immediately began to tell people. We got our family going to church. I was getting people at work saved. I was telling them where they could find Jesus, how they could find Jesus. They were asking me about my life, and I immediately was ready to change people's lives. Do you know, though, that everybody that you talk to eventually is going to... Jesus tells a parable, and I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but I want us right now to look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. You don't have to turn. It's going to come up for you in just a second. I'm a little ahead of us, but I wanted to share it right now because I just feel like it too. See, when we get to tell people about Jesus, it's like planting a seed. This is what Jesus says. Jesus said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Here's how the kingdom works. Here's how evangelism works. Here's how this thing works. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of ear. Now you got to wait on the harvest. That's what he's saying here. But you got to get the seed planted. And what you have the opportunity to do is just plant the seed. There are times you're just planting, but there will be times if you'll plant that you'll harvest. And it's going to come up. He promises you. If you'll plant it, it will come up. And I want to tell you today, whoever that you've talked to about Jesus and whoever you've been able to share the things of God about, I promise you, there is a seed in their heart. And one day it will come up. And then there's a harvest. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth the sickle because the harvest is come. See, what I want us to hear today is that no matter what style you are of, no matter what is your favorite style or the one that you move in the easiest, what I wanted to tell you today is they all work. They're all a planting seed. And one day those seeds are going to come up, but you got to plant. And we'll see this as we move through this passage. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him, how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied. And I washed, and now I see. Now again, we see the unconventional touch of Jesus. People that usually move in this particular style are unconventional. Not only was his healing unconventional, but how Jesus moved. Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. This upset the Pharisees. Because Jesus didn't do it conventionally. Jesus didn't do it the way they thought it should be done. And when Jesus moves upon lives, oftentimes, particularly with this particular evangelism style, he moved on you unconventionally. He didn't do it at church, or he didn't do it at the altars, or I didn't get saved at church. I got saved probably in my bedroom, and then because I knew I was supposed to pray with the preacher, I went to his house, but I still didn't get to go to church. We went into his little study and knelt down and prayed. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost and my language of prayer language in tongues. I didn't get that. I didn't get that in church at the altars. I got it at a chair in my office. About 2 o'clock in the morning. Jesus never has done anything with me conventionally. In fact, I preached a message not very long ago. My name is Delbert Young, and I'm not average. Nothing I do is conventional. I didn't start conventional. I'm not going to end conventional. And so when Jesus moves on this person's life, this person that usually has this testimony, it's usually nearly unbelievable what he's done and how he did it. It borders the miraculous, or even is the miraculous. But it's not conventional. And it upsets the Pharisees. I upset people. I don't mean to upset people. They call me rebellious. I call me unconventional. Because I just don't do it. That's not how it was done in me that way. And I don't think it has to be done in you the way it was done in me or the way it was done in anybody. Just so it gets done. Let him spit on me. Let him kick me. Let him whatever he wants to do. Just do something. Just get me there. Another thing I see here is they called him in, Pharisees called him in, and they began asking him all these questions. And also his friends were asking all these questions. And what was interesting to me is they'll check your story out. People are going to find out. And have you ever heard these testimonies that were so glorious and glamorous? In fact, who was it now this past week? The coach from Georgia Tech left Georgia Tech and went to Notre Dame. And they found out that he had lied on his resume, correct? Do you know that people will find out if you lied about your testimony? Right. You hear some of these wild and, man, that really happened? And then you find, start checking on it and you find, no, it didn't happen. You see, make sure your story is true. But when you know it's true, you can stand there just like he said. In verse 25, he says, one thing I do know, I was blind. And now I see. See, when you know that, when you know that you were like this, but now you're like this, you can stand in anybody's face and declare it, and then you add to it. I always add to it. Now deal with it. I know it happened. It's the truth. And that's what this guy told these Pharisees. All I know is that I was blind, and now I can see. Now you deal with it. And they got so upset with him. Now I want to share this while I'm on this point. And again, they got mad at him, and they threw him out. Look at verse 34. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Now, have you ever been thrown out of a church? I have. This happened to me. And the Pharisees did it. It wasn't the people that I was loving and ministering to. They didn't do it. The Pharisees did. But do you know what? I planted so many seed in the people in the time that I had with them. You see, it's that way today. A lot of people today think they're throwing me out of their lives. And they've tried to throw me out of their lives. But something I said or something I did was planted. And I don't know how it happens, and I don't know when it'll happen, but I know it's going to bring forth a harvest. And I see, hear so much today of things I've said and people whose lives I've touched over the years. I don't know how it happened, but I do know it happened. And I'm hearing constantly things I said years and years ago or did years and years ago, how they're today affecting someone's life. And all of a sudden, pops up, springs out of the ground, the leaves come forth, the corn comes forth, and all of a sudden, they've got what I planted in them years and years and years ago. And it'll happen that way with you. Now, they threw this guy out, but do you know what happened? Now, this is in John chapter 9. I want you to see this, because in John chapter 12, look what happens. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Among these guys that threw him out, there were still many later that believed on him. Why? Because this guy's testimony, they couldn't disprove it. It happened. See, with the testimony style evangelism, you're not giving theory. You're expressing, you're displaying the kingdom of God. You're showing people what God did. Now, they can't argue with that. And then in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, see, of the Pharisees, people began to believe because somebody planted some seeds in them somewhere along the way. The main evangelism is work. Paul told Timothy to do the work of the evangelist. It's sowing seed. It's sometimes doing some maintenance as far as uprooting and hoeing and doing these. But if you'll leave that seed alone, it is a guarantee because the earth's going to bring it forth. And years and years and years later, you'll see something happen because of something you said or ministered to someone today. I don't want you to be frustrated and discouraged because of what you're doing over these weeks. You're inviting people to church and you're sharing your testimony and you're learning all this stuff and you're using it. I know that many of you are. You're calling people. I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to get frustrated. I want you to see that what you're doing is you're putting something in there and it's going to come up. It can't help it. I don't know who you're touching or all you're touching or who you're planting into, but I know that you are, and I promise you, they know where he's at because you told him. And I promise you, a harvest is coming. Verse 35, John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, this story has a very interesting ending to me. And we were back in the back this morning. I was throwing out a question just to make sure that I was pretty much on track with this, because Jesus actually took time and went and found this person. I mean, he went physically and personally to find this man. He went on a manhunt for this particular individual. Now, I don't know of another place in Scripture where this exactly happened, where Jesus really went looking for a specific person. Now, I know he went to Lazarus and raised Lazarus from the dead, and I know it, you know, Zacchaeus on the Jericho Road as he was coming down, you know, he went and spent, but he wasn't looking for Zacchaeus, and with Lazarus he was sent for. But this guy, he went personally. He went personally to. He paid him a personal visit. And here's my point on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 23, it says, Paul's writing here, and this is where he's talking about. Don't put it up there yet. What he's talking about here is, I became all things to all men so that I can save some. This is what he's talking about. To the Jew, I became a Jew, and to the Greek, as a Greek, and to those that were learned, I became as learned, and to the debased, I became. So he became all these things to all people. And then he says, I did this for a reason. So that the gospel could be shared. And then he says this in 1 Corinthians 9:23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. How many think it would be a really good blessing to have the Lord come and pay you a special visit? To have Jesus come and visit you. You'll find that people with a testimonial style evangelism have many visits, not just Sunday morning visits, not only Sunday nights or Wednesday night visits, not only church visits, but they have visits all the time. Jesus has visited my life so, so many times. Through fastings, times of fasting, times of studying His Word, praise, worship, walking around in the sanctuary praying. But it's not only on a Sunday, and it's not always conventional. But I know there are times that He has specifically sought me out and talked to me again. So if you are this type of a person and you really know that this is your power, this is the power gift that God's given you, you have many visits from the Lord. And it's not just here. You can be riding down the road and He'll come find you. You can be laying in the bed at night and He just shows up. He says, do you know the Son of Man? Yeah, I do. You see, this guy, this testimonial to person, has a very unique, special relationship because it's unconventional. Jesus just doesn't do him like He's done everyone else. And He doesn't do things like everybody else does them. And it's a testimony. Today, I continue to make the Pharisees upset. And they asked me. They wondered, has Jesus really touched you? You know, was it really Jesus that called you? And it used to bother me. It really used to bother me when people would question my salvation, question my calling. But you know what now? I look for the opportunity. I want them nearly to do it. Because I know what to do. I say, all I know is this. I was blind. But now I see. Now you decide. I smile. I'm real sweet. And I'll say, just look around and deal with it. It's a power in my life, and I know it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a passage that we're all familiar with. Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what's going to happen, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What will happen to you? You will receive power, a dunamis, a special power that will allow you to share with people your testimony. You will receive a power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, wherever you go, Judea. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter where you buy groceries, wherever you go. You have a power in you. And that power is to tell people about Him. And that power, hear me now, this is the most important thing, the most powerful thing I'm going to say all day. That power that's in you has the ability to transform lives. I know that. It says so. The power that works in you also raised Christ from the dead. It has the ability to change lives. And if we hear anything through this whole series, I hope we've heard that. There's a power working in each one of us. And when we take the opportunity to share it, we work to develop a time where we can do it. We do the work of the evangelist. We will transform lives. Amen. Put your heads bowed. First things first. Are you doing the first things first? Are you proving your ministry? Are you really doing the work of the evangelist? The power of a testimonial evangelist. There's a power in you. You know this is you. This is what you do, and you do this one best. When you tell people what God's done in your life, it has a dramatic effect on the lives of people. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and just let me see your hands? Good, good, good. I want you to come down. I want to pray with you, pray over you, and release that and stir that in you. And then we're going to minister to people. But if this is you, I want you to come on down right now. And I want to lay hands on you. I want to release this in you and stir you up in this particular style. Where are you? Come on. I saw 4 or 5 hands. All styles, all evangelism styles are powerful. Each one does a work, a unique work. And it's situational. Each one is situational. What I'm hoping that we're learning is that I can pull on this one easier because it's a power in me. And I'm not afraid to use it. Because I know you can't argue with this one. And if this is you, you know, I really want to stir it up. If you know that you're good here, I really want you to be stirred up in it and really use it and come forth in it. Would you stand with me as we pray for these, and then we're going to minister to the whole body. Father, we bless them. Father, I bless them. Releasing them, Lord God, this authority and this power that you've given to us. Father, I pray that we will recognize the opportunities, each opportunity. You didn't do it conventionally with us. You didn't do it like it happened with others. You maybe didn't do it at church. Maybe you didn't do it the way it happened with my friends. But I do know it happened to me. And you sent me. And I want to be totally transformed. I want you to transform me. I want you to use me. And I'm on my way to Siloam right now to finish the transformation. I'm going to do all you said do. I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity to touch someone's life and change them and tell them about Jesus, because I realize it is a power. It's a power that you've given to me to love your people and to minister to them. And I'll use it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Be seated. No, don't be seated. I was telling them to go back. I want you to stand still for a moment. Whatever's going on in your life today, I don't know. This, it's irrelevant. I want you to know God didn't put this on you. Whatever. If your finances are a mess, it's not God that gave you bad finances. Who did this to you? If you're sick, God has not made you sick. What I want you to hear me today say is this. Is what he wants to do is display his works through you. Okay, your finances are bad. Let's make a display of them. Let's show the works of God through them. Let's get them fixed. Okay, you are sick, okay? Let's fix that. Let's pray and let's let God display his works through that. Okay, your marriage is all messed up. Your home's a mess. Your children are in rebellion. Your husband or your wife's left you. I don't care. Let's let God take that and display his works through it. I don't care what you're going through or what's going on in your life. What you need to hear me say today is this, is God wants to take it and display through your life his works. That's what he's all about. That's the manifestation of his kingdom. It's taking it out of theory, out of a Bible, put it into you, and you become a written epistle, written of all men, and read by all the things of God. I don't care what you're going through today. You're sick, family, healing, need Jesus, whatever's going on in your life. Would you come down now? Let us pray for you. Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst. He says, you get there and pray for it. I'll do anything you ask me. Anything. Whatever you're needing from God today, come on down. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, everything we've said, done, sung, talked about, it's for this moment where you can love your people, where you can touch their lives, and you can heal them, you can do something unconventional. You can do it your way. And we release, Lord, you do it your way here. Touch these lives, Lord. Display your marvelous works. When they've all come down, the rest of you can be seated. We'll only be a few minutes. Elders, elders' wives, anybody that wants to pray are welcome. Anyone that wants to pray is welcome to come down and pray with us. We just expect these to come down. So let's take a moment now and bless these people. God good? All the time. The whole purpose of LifeGate is to reach people. LifeGate Church, reaching people and then making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. First things first is reaching people. Then we'll make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of the evangelist. And the context of this is that you've heaped to yourself teachers having itching ears. They had itching ears and they wanted to just be taught, just be taught, just be taught. He says, no. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. You see, it's easy to come and be taught. Evangelism is work. Reaching people requires us to get out of the chair and have conversations and do things for people. Reaching people, loving God, loving people. Most important thing you can do. Everything else hinges on that. I want to remind you one more time before we leave to get us the addresses. We want to reach these people. These people that you are trying to reach. We want to help you. We want to provide this wonderful service next Sunday. Come in, candlelight service. We'll sing some good old Christmas hymns and just have a great time with, in the presence of Jesus. So, you know, bring them. Do all you can. Let's get them here. Let's reach some people. Would you stand with me now? We'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you so much. You are such a wonderful leader. Wonderful Lord. Father, we love you. Father God, we love you. You're such a wonderful Father.